Thank you for just another opportunity to come and worship you in this place together. And Father, I thank you so much for how you provide for us, and most of all for providing your Son as our Savior. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just be here working amongst us this morning and would be helping us to understand what it is you have for us this morning. Each of us have different things going on in our lives, and yet you can use what happens here this morning in those different scenarios. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that, that you would touch the hearts and minds of your people to know what you have for them. And we pray this. Oh, and also I want to pray for people in Paris, Father, and just the tragedy that has gone on there. And Father, I lift up that situation to you and pray for the leaders there especially, Father, that you would help them to have wisdom to know what to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be looking at a section from John 14. And go ahead and turn your Bibles to John 14. I'm going to be reading a fairly large section here to kind of set up the context of where we're going to go. My main thing this morning is John 14, 15, where Jesus says, "If you love me, then keep my commandments." And that's going to be kind of the basis of what I want to talk about today. So John 14, actually starting in verse 1, because I want to look at the whole context here of what's going on. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give to you a helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." So that was a large section there, but it really helps to know the context of this statement that Jesus makes: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So the first thing I want to look at here then is love, this idea of love. There's several Greek words for love, and they have a little bit different meaning. So one of them is love, which is thumos, and it has the idea of passion. It's where we get the term like thermos, thermometer, has that idea of heat. The other word for love is phileo, and that's where actually they get the word Philadelphia, and it has the idea of more of a brotherly love, an affection for someone in a brotherly way. Then there's the love, and this is the term that Jesus is using here, and it's agapeo, and it is an unconditional love. It's the kind of love that God has for us and the kind of love that he wants us to have for him. And then the last one, actually, love is God, or God is love. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You know, I think sometimes maybe we forget that that's God's character, that God's character is love. And sometimes when we see things that are going on in the world or things that are going on in our own lives, we kind of lose that perspective of God being love. And everything he does out of love. He doesn't do it out of revenge, but he's doing it out of love. Even when God disciplines us, he's doing it out of love because he cares for us. He loves us. If he didn't love us, he would just let things go. There would be just kind of chaos. It just would be out of control. He just really wouldn't care. Because really, that's the opposite of love, is apathy. It's not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. Just don't care. Just don't care. And so when he sees us doing something that is going to not be beneficial for us, he will interject into our lives and bring discipline into our lives because he loves us, because he's concerned for us. Hopefully, those of us that are parents do that same thing with our kids. Is the reason that we will discipline our kids is out of love. Because we know that if they carry on in the manner that they're doing, it's going to be bad for them. It's going to be detrimental for them. If we didn't care, we would just let it go. Oh, I don't care. Just, you know, do whatever. The problem is with that, though, however, it'll eventually affect us. It'll eventually affect us. So sometimes I think maybe we discipline out of, I don't like where this is going for me, and so I'm going to deal with it. Not the best motivation, but probably get the same outcome. But really, we need to do it out of love. God is love. That's what how he wants us to operate, is in love. Let's look at some of the actions that love creates. So love's actions. First of all, love is a choice. This unconditional love, the agape love, really is a choice. We need to decide that that's how we're going to love. You know, there's the kind of infatuation kind of love, where it's just, you know, it's not realistic necessarily. It's, you know, some of you remember back in those days, you know, where you were infatuated with your spouse. Some of you teenagers, you know, you're dealing with that right now. Katie won't make eye contact. But it's more of a physical, you're really not in your right mind. I mean, really, you know, I guess that's probably the best way to do it, say it. But as you go along, you kind of find out who that person really is. And then you choose to love them, even with all the things that maybe aren't perfect about them, when all of a sudden you realize, oh, they're not as perfect as I thought they were. But we choose then to love. You're going to get in trouble. So we make that choice to love. And the idea here is Jesus talks about abiding or remaining in. In fact, we read this week about the vine. Jesus being the we being the, or Jesus being the vine and we being the branches, and that idea of abiding or remaining in. John 15, 4 through 5 says, Jesus says, abide or remain in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Love can only be known by the actions it prompts. So if you're looking at someone's actions to verify how they really feel, you look at what someone says to verify who they really are and how they really feel. If it's truly love, it will be known by those actions that come out. When things get hard, we really then see who loves us and how we love. Remember back in John 6, Jesus was talking about, you know, his flesh and his blood and how we're supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And it has that idea of being in him, totally consumed and part of him. And really, only with God can we truly love. The other choice then would be the world, to abide in the world or choose to really live and participate in the world. The problem is with that is the end result is not going to be good. The end result is going to be an eternity someplace that we will not want to be. So looking at, this is kind of a contrast here. John 15, 19, it talks about the world, but it talks about the world in relation to we that are believers in Jesus Christ, how will the world treat us? John 15, 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. So if we choose the world, basically, the world hates God. The world wants no part of God. Who is the ruler of this world? It's Satan. Someone who has trying to put himself above God or the same as God, and God dealt with him. He's the ruler of this world. We who are believers in Jesus Christ are not of this world. We have our citizenship is in heaven. That is where we're headed. And the world will look at us and go, I don't like you. I don't like your attitude. I don't like your intolerance. I don't like whatever it is. And that would be what happens if we choose the world. Then that's what our attitude becomes, is that we don't want anything to do with God. It's all about the here and now. Another action that should come from love is obedience. Is obedience that we need to do or we need to act. Obedience is the proof of genuine love. And that's what this verse is talking about when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. It's obedience. That's John 14, 15. John 14, 21, Jesus says, this is in this same section here, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come in and make our abode with him. John 14, 31, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. The world looks at us to see if we truly are going to act out what we believe. And that's why so many times you'll hear people say, oh, the church, they're so hypocritical. They say this and they do that. And it's probably true in a lot of cases. Because what we say, we need to do. If we say we believe in God, then we need to live in such a way that shows that. If we say that we believe in absolute truth, then we need to live in such a way that shows that. If we say we love, then we need to live in such a way that shows that. Also from obedience then is their confirmation. Confirmation of the obedience. And this is Jesus. This was in verse 31 there, where he says, Jesus says, I do exactly as the Father commanded me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Jesus said over and over, I don't do this stuff on my own initiative. I'm doing what the Father's telling me to do. I'm doing what he wants me to do. We're going to be seeing here this week as Jesus is heading for the cross in our reading this week. And he goes to the Father and he asks the Father if there's any other way, if there's any other way that we can save these people. That's what he would choose. But yet he says, your will be done, not mine. Because he knows that God the Father loves him. He knows that God the Father loves people, loves us. So then the results of love. The results of love initially should be love. Because that shows that we have love. We should then be loving. From love, we see that God, or we should love God. That's the first thing we should do. Mark 12:30 tells us how to love God, that we're to love God with every single part of our being. Every part of our being. Now, from a human standpoint, that's very difficult. But remember in this section, that last part that I read, it talked about Jesus and the Father sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help us love. The Holy Spirit is going to help us love God the way that God expects to be loved. And he expects to be loved with all of our mind, our soul, our heart, our strength, every part of our being. That's how God wants us to love him. The other thing is that we're to love one another. We're to love one another. Specifically, believers in Jesus Christ. There should be a love there that the world looks at and says, that's what I want. They really love each other. They really take care of each other. John 13, starting in verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He says that we need to love each other like he loved us. And how did Jesus love us? To the point of death. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us. And he talks about we who are his followers should be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Another way that we're to express our love is to our neighbor. We're to love our neighbor. Mark 12:31. In that same section where Jesus was asked, so what's the greatest commandment? And he says, well, you're to love God with every part of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, from a human standpoint, that can be pretty difficult. But if we have the Holy Spirit, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, if we've accepted Him as our Savior, we now have the Holy Spirit within us to help us do that, to help us do that, to see them in a different way, to see them with God's eyes. And he goes even further in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Wow. It's bad enough I have to love my neighbor. Now I have to love my enemies? Yes, because what it does is it shows love. It shows love. Our act of obedience and doing what Christ has called us to do. That we're to love God, we're to love one another, we're to love our neighbor, we're to love our enemies. I think that included everybody. So I think he's covered it all. Pretty hard to love our enemies. I mean, you think of just what went on in Paris. And yet God calls us to love those who are our enemies. Now, what we have to remember in love is it's not just a blanket, "Oh, okay, well, whatever. You know, I love you, so I just let you do whatever." That's not what true love is. True love is holding people accountable. True love is discipline. True love is doing the right thing. So we're to love our enemies. It doesn't mean we agree with what they're doing. But we're to love them and pray for them. Another result of love, probably the greatest result, is salvation. That God loved us so much that he was willing to save us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever is willing to believe in Jesus will not perish, but will have eternal life." That's how much God loved us. Romans goes on to say that God loved us even though we were sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So God looks on us and goes, "There's sin." Even people that literally hate God, and yet he said, "I'm sending my Son for them because I love them." God has made that choice to love them. He's not looking at how they act, what they say, who they are. They're his creation, and he loves them. He loved us first. God gave his Son because he loved us. He was willing to give us his only Son for our salvation. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins," or atone for our sins. So the sin that we have in our lives, God said, "I'm going to send my Son to take care of your sin. Past, present, future. He's going to take care of it. If you're willing to accept him for who he is." And that's the next one, is we then need to choose. We need to choose. Are we going to love God, or are we going to love the world? What's our choice going to be? John 14, 6, Jesus speaking says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. The sacrifice he made for our sin is the only way that that door has been opened for us to have a relationship with God, for us to have eternal life. And in John 17, 3, he says what eternal life is. Eternal life is that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Knowing God, knowing Christ. Obedience is evidence of true conversion. If we will obey what Jesus said, it verifies, it confirms whether we've truly accepted him as Savior or not. James 2 talks about faith and works. And James says, I will show you my faith by how I live, by what I do. Jesus says to us in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will do what I say. Do what I say. And how do we know what Jesus said? The Bible, God's Word. And if we ask Jesus to come and be our Savior, that we believe who he is, then we also will get the Holy Spirit who will come along beside us and help us understand what Jesus said. And he told his disciples that. I'll go away, but I'm going to send you the Helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will help remind you about what I said. Help remind you about who I am. Help remind you about what you need to do. So today you have a choice. You can either choose the world or you can choose Jesus. And maybe you've already made that choice. Praise God. But maybe you haven't made that choice yet. Maybe you're still wrestling with that. Maybe you're still wrestling with God, who's trying to get you to that point of realizing that Jesus is who he said he was. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and that's right standing with God, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So what we need to do for salvation, to be cleansed of our sin, to be saved, is to confess that Jesus is who he said he was. To agree with God and say, I believe that. I believe, God, that you had so much love for me that you were willing to send your only son to die for me. It doesn't necessarily make sense, but this is what I believe. Believing by faith. Jesus speaking, paraphrased, if you have made a choice to love me with all your being, then you'll be very attentive to what I say. We need to listen. We need to listen and obey. We need to act upon the love that God has shown us. Let's pray. Father, what you did, really from a human standpoint, doesn't make a lot of sense. That you would somehow become in the form of a man and come down to this earth and live for 30-some years as a human, and that at the end of your life, be willing to be ridiculed and humiliated, to be spit upon and beaten, to be hung on a cross and die for those that hung you on the cross. Makes no sense. But yet that's what you chose, because you loved us. And that's how you were going to show us how much love you had for us. Father, I pray for those of us here today that have accepted Christ as our Savior, that we become much more diligent in listening to what He says and then doing it, and not making some excuse about what someone in the world might think of us, but be more concerned with how you think of us. And Father, if there's someone here today who hasn't made that choice, that they haven't decided that, yeah, Jesus was the one who came to save me, Father, I pray that you continue to work on their hearts, that you would continue to draw them to yourselves. And if they're ready, as Romans says, all they need to do is confess to you, is say to you that they believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and they can be saved. It really is that simple to begin with. Father, thank you. Thank you for love. For such a great love that you were willing to offer your Son for us. That he shed his blood, he gave his body. What he went through for us is just unimaginable. And I thank you for it. And I pray this in his holy name. Amen.